You know, God's been talking in this seminar of this, revival about not being able to hear from Him, but being confident, faithful to Him. And that's an important thing, because if you think about when He said to us, and having done all to stand therefore, that's an awful important word. Because it means that you're not getting this stimulation from God on the outside. You've got a word inside. And that's what the foundation of the temple was, is the rock, right? The stone. So you and I are based on New Jerusalem, is built on this cornerstone, Jesus Christ. And no other foundation can be laid except that that's been laid by Him and the apostles. So if you're on unshakable foundation, then you're on the Word of God. And that's what you and I want. We want that unshakable foundation brought on by the Spirit and presence of God. Wow. I forgot how loud you sing, Tom. Wait a minute. Do that laugh again. Tom, I believe that was a little bit joyous. Thank you, Jesus. I thank God for giving us a song in the night season and giving us a testimony. He's that kind of God. And He certainly has done that for all of us, watching over us and protecting us. I want to read a portion of Scripture from the King James Bible. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible said, "No greater love hath any man than he would lay down his life for his friend." And the really great thing about what God does is He brings us through these places by His outstretched arm, by His Spirit and presence. I'm thankful for everybody that's here tonight. I'm thankful for God's presence. This is 4 nights in a row that God has met with us and blessed us. This afternoon was precious. I forgot that I said we were going to have a Bible study. I came thinking about just having a prayer meeting. And everybody was sitting in the chairs. I thought, I bet I said, let's have a Bible study. So God blessed. We had a really great Bible study. So He watches over us and brings us to that place where His Word is successful. We had people here who'd never heard any of the things that we talked about. And, you know, it's precious for God to go back to the beginning things. He always does that. When you're dealing with the lost, God always deals with a salvation message. He wants to bring a salvation message because you can't build on any other foundation. You've got to start with accepting Christ as your Savior. Then everything else goes up from there, but you have to just stay on that salvation message. And that's a precious thing for God to do to us. Psalms chapter 30 in the King James Bible says this: "I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." Well, I don't know about you, but that says a bunch. My foes rejoicing over me. You know, if you have somebody that picks at you and tries to cause trouble with you and they mock you, make fun of you, make that constant nagging kind of stuff against you, you wouldn't want them to be able to get you kicked out of class or kicked out of school. If you're in high school, you wouldn't want them to be able to cause enough trouble that they got you kicked out. Same thing if you're riding the bus. You wouldn't want people to cause enough trouble that they could get you kicked off the bus. Then you have to go home and explain to your parents, "I didn't do it." And they'd roll their eyes, because now they've got to take you to school. You wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want your foes to triumph over you. So we have adversaries. And one of the worst things that we have is our own flesh for an adversary. And the great thing is that we live close enough to it that we can deal with it all the time. Or the bad thing is we live close enough to it that we have to deal with it all the time. But we have a foe in doubt and unbelief. Those are two of the foes that we'd like to look at in just a second. We've got lots to talk about, but in the Word of God. But the thing is, if we have doubt, then the enemy can single us out and try to create excess turmoil in us. He can make you afraid of tomorrow. He can make you afraid of the day. He can make you afraid of failure when nothing in you should fear failure at all. So this portion of Scripture talks about God's indwelling presence, because He starts out by saying, I will extol Thee, O Lord, for Thou hast lifted me up. You lifted me up. When they would have triumphed over me, You wouldn't let them. You've not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried unto Thee, and You hast healed me. You hear my cry, You've healed me. The Bible said, is there any sick among you? Let them pray. Any sick among you? Let them pray. Well, that's a great thing for the church to know, yes? So when you get sick, it doesn't hurt to call for people to pray with you. But God tells you, I love you enough, you pray, I'll answer your prayer. You pray. What if you need a serious miracle? Yeah, pray. What if it looks like everything else is going on? Did you bring me a donut? No. You brought Krispy Kreme? Well, all right. I got to write Nancy's name down. Little star. Oh, hey, Jordan and Matt brought me that. Matt. I know he hates when I do that. But he said, I cried unto Thee, and You've healed me. So, you're going to be some places that you can't call anybody. And you're going to need a miracle from God. You're just going to need a miracle from God. And the thing is, knowing that you can pray and that God will hear your prayer. Religion has passed off this sense that you need me because I'm the professional. I'm not a professional. I don't even charge for my service. I'm a volunteer. I'm like a candy striper at a hospital. Really. I love doing this. And I know that God has blessed me. He's prospered my journey. But I can tell you that I started out doing this stuff free when I was a young guy. When I was in Vietnam, I started doing this free. I was an air traffic controller. That paid for my meals that I got free at the mess hall. Well, it did. But I started having services there in the little hooch where I was at. And these guys began to gather, and we started talking about Jesus. And I told them, hey, write home, have your folks send Bibles. And Steve wrote home to his mom. She wrote him back and said, go to Mass. Priest has a Bible. I thought, wow, that's how we lock ourselves into this stuff, isn't it? It's like, you don't need a Bible. A priest can tell you what's in the Bible. My older brother knew what the rules were to Monopoly. I didn't know him. He was 2.5 years older than me, and I kept losing at Monopoly. Do you know why? Yeah, that's why. Because my brother could change the rules anytime he wanted. I got old enough to read the rules. I said, whoa! That ain't a rule. Oh, yeah, he said it is. I said, it ain't in the rule book. And that's what the Christian church should have always been able to stand on. But you know what? We let people pass themselves off as professional preachers or professional ministry. You guys, there's no such thing as professional ministry. What God ordained is for me to put inside of you a word that grows up. So I'm supposed to parent you to marriage. That's my job. You're going to be courted by Jesus Christ. You are not going to marry me. And I love you, but you're still not going to marry me. And the thing is, what God's doing to you is bringing a truth to you. And Paul said, I have espoused you as a chaste virgin to Jesus Christ. So the church can lose its virginity, and that's the thing I'm most concerned about. That's why I'm always talking about lies, because here's the thing. If somebody comes along and tells you a lie, they're taking you away from the courtship of Jesus Christ, because He's going to tell you nothing but the truth. And when He comes, He'll start talking cooing, loving things to you. And if you've been told something by someone else, your heart will go back that direction because you'll trust them instead of him. That's why Paul said, I'm telling you, I have espoused you. I've espoused you. That means I've committed you to a marriage, yes? That's what an espousal is. I've espoused you as a chaste virgin to Christ. I kept your virginity, your spiritual virginity. He said, the kingdom of heaven was like unto 10 virgins. This isn't just one story that Paul made up. This isn't a Pauline epistle made to make us think about the church. This is a fact from God. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is going to be like 10 virgins. So virgin ain't enough. Just 5 are wise and 5 are not wise. So you got to go a little bit beyond just having that virtuous relationship where you receive the truth and you love the truth. You have to obey the truth. The 5 wise virgins obeyed it. So you see, what God's talking to me and you about is this pathway through this maze of voices that brings us into a place that says, there's one thing most important, that's truth. Because you're going to marry something. You're either going to marry a doctor and a man, because the Bible had a harlot in the book of Revelations. There was a harlot church, yes? And her name was Babylon. And Babylon means confusion of tongue. You know what happened at the Tower of Babel, yes? So God said, there's a church system that calls itself Christian, but it babbles. They don't speak the same thing. If you go to one church, they speak one language. They go to a different church, they speak a different doctrine. Go to a different church, they speak a different doctrine. They babble. And they're contented with their babble. But God called it a harlot. Then he said, there's another church, and her name is Jerusalem, New Jerusalem. And he said, she came out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, the great thing is, you guys, this isn't after all things are done. Listen, anybody that tells you that she came out of heaven and that is because the church is going to come down after everything is done, that's a lie because she had walls. And when God's got everything done, Jerusalem won't need any walls. You only need walls if you've got someone on the outside you can't let in. And he said he saw New Jerusalem coming out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. She had her gates. She had her bars. She had her walls. She had her foundations. So what God's telling the church is, here's where you and I are. You have an adversary that wants to court you. And he wants to win you. And really what happens is the first voice you begin to hear weighs heaviest with your thoughts. If you learn something wrong, it's really hard to unlearn it. It's way easier to just learn it right the first time than it is to learn it wrong and then have to go back and undo what you learned the wrong way. Same thing with the Church of Jesus Christ. So the doctrines of men have run. They've run to carry out this mission to get out and gather people. And what the church is winning people for now is not for Christ Jesus. I'm sorry to say. It is for doctrine. I said this all the time. If you've been in a service lately, I've told you this. We're winning them for doctrine. Because that means you believe me instead of someone else. That means I won. You get that? I won over my doctrine. And I can be arguing over some of the most interesting things. The church fights over the Trinity. The Trinity. There's battles over Trinity. There's battles over baptism. What name do you baptize in? You can cause people serious indigestion simply by saying, well, I baptize in the name of Jesus. And that's because there's a battle going on between these different groups who baptize. And some of them say you have to baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost because Jesus said that. Some say, yes, but the book of Acts, nobody ever baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They always baptized in the name of Jesus. I guess the guy's got the revelation. Oh, but that's right. It hurts because Father's not a name. I'm a father, but my name is Ron. I'm just exhaling. So Jesus knew what the revelation was, because here's the revelation. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. So Jesus was God. We say, well, then who was he praying to on the cross, Pastor? Who was he praying to on the cross? That's because God emptied himself of his deity to come into the flesh of a man. But all of him didn't fit. God was still out there doing all the stuff. But I can tell you, this flesh was surrendered to the will of God. We were talking about that in the Bible study today. You should have been here if you're not getting what I'm saying, because this is a great story. So we fight over these things. How can you fight over how your water baptized you guys? I don't think it matters. You're thinking, ooh, a suck up. You're making everybody happy. No, no. Because you know what? We have a real God. And He loves you. And He died at Calvary. And if He said in Matthew, if Jesus said, go baptize Him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, I believe you could be obedient to that and God would know what you're doing. I think God would know what you're doing. You're not making a theological statement. You're doing what He told you to do. Now, don't fight with your brother that baptized in the name of Jesus because people are saying they're Antichrist. These groups are pointing at each other and they call each other Antichrist. Like, you're the Antichrist because you don't have the Father. Antichrist? No, you're the Antichrist because you don't have the Son. Yes, I have the Son. Does that seem strange to you? But there's such a fight about that that there are people that will tell you, you aren't even going to go to heaven if you haven't been baptized in the name of Jesus. And you know what? He died on a cross. The reason you're going to heaven is because He died on a cross and shed His blood for you. And you know what? He loves you so much that He will baptize you in the Holy Ghost. And His baptism of the Holy Ghost is fire. And I'll baptize you in the name of Jesus in the water. Just because that's the way they did it. But I'll tell you this. I want you baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because the fire baptism gets out of you what water won't. The fire baptism gets inside of you and gets something out that the water can't. So what you and I want is to have God finish these things. He's a real Father. A loving Father doesn't say, you didn't say that right. You didn't say that right. I'm not going to help you at all. You go down for the third time and drowned, and He just said you didn't say the word right. Sorry. That isn't God. So He says here, listen. I cried. I prayed. You helped me. You healed me. That's because God hears your prayer. And the great thing is, what you want is to ask God for the absolute truth. Because what you tell Him is, I want you to court me. I want your truth to win me. I want to love you more than anything else. I just want to love you more than anything else. And I know you said you're the truth. So I want to love the truth. And you guys, then all this battle stuff starts getting settled and you find out that all these doctrine things, they didn't come out of heaven. God didn't have that fuss and fight going on. He has something different. And there's some things you and I have to believe that's truth. Because it is truth. But if you believe baptizing in the name of the Father and Son, Holy Ghost is truth, and the Spirit and presence of God doesn't change that in you, I don't think you're in trouble. But if you're fighting with your brother over religious things and you're calling them blasphemous names, now you got trouble. And if you hate them because that church down the street does it different than you, then you got problems. See, it isn't always what you're thinking. It's about the intent of your heart and how you love one another. And you guys, Jesus was hated by the Pharisees because they owned the temple proper. And the Sadducees strolled the courts of this magnificent temple. And the thing that they were at war with is that Jesus was getting the people. So their jealousy rose up to have Him crucified. So you guys, you see, the religious house still wants to crucify anybody that comes with just truth. Because what people are hungry for is truth. We're shifting from church to church. The population that's changing. A lot of churches and church growth isn't about because you have won people off the street. It's because you won them from other churches. That's because people get tired of the same old taco. No, not tacos. They get tired of the same old hamburger. So they want to go get something else to eat. I'm just telling you the truth. But it's not about reality of God. It's not about the walk with God. It's not about being sold out to God. We're not even asking why the Spirit and presence of God isn't doing in the church what He said He did in the book of Acts. Amen. At least Gideon asked God, how come we don't see the miracles? If you're the miracle working God, where are your miracles? We need to get honest about asking God, what's going on? I want your Spirit to move among us. I'm not interested in aggrandizing the flesh. We've made miracles being reached as though it's a picture of some great minister. And now he ought to be out on television. That isn't it. It ought to be in the sanctuary, in a quiet place where the Spirit and presence of God is able to touch people that need a miracle from God. And nobody's aggrandized about it except God, because God did the miracle. Man didn't do the miracle. We've got to come back. We've got to come back to the Word of God being what it is. So he said this. Oh Lord, You've brought up my soul from the grave. You've kept me alive. Well, that's the truth. That I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His. Well, we were doing that, yes? And give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. For His anger endureth but a moment, and His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Does it sound like a pep talk? Does it sound like somebody telling you, don't complain. I know the wages are low. I know there ain't much food. I know you're working hard. But you're going to be all right. Does it sound like that to you? It don't sound like that to me. It sounds like God is talking to me and you about the things that go on in our life and how important it is that, yes, you're going to go through some tough stuff. But I'm promising. I'm making promises. Every single thing He's saying there is a promise. It isn't about you holding on. It's about Him coming to deliver you.
Amen.
And that's the thing you and I want. It's not about me expecting something from Him. It's about Him bringing what He promised to me. Listen. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. Boy, is that a great idea. When everything's going good, I said, I'll never be moved. Man, I'm in this thing for the full deal. That's why Job woke up one day and his children all died. You know why? Because God said to Satan, you consider my servant Job? Have you considered him? The devil said, well, sure, I've considered him. I can't get to him because you've got a hedge around him. If you didn't keep him safe, if you didn't baby him, you've turned him into a spoiled brat. You give him everything he wants. You bless his life and coming in, going out. If you didn't do that, he wouldn't be praising you like he is. If his life had the toughness of some of these people out here I've been abusing, he wouldn't praise you. God said, then I'll tell you what, let's do. You do everything you want to him, but don't take his life. You can't touch his life. And when this thing is done, you're going to come back and tell me he didn't change. You're going to come back. And I want to hear it out of your mouth. See what God does? God doesn't want, He doesn't want to tell the devil, you shut up. I'm tired of hearing your mouth. He likes proof. My mom used to say the proof of the pudding is the eating of the pie. I don't know what that means even yet. But I loved it when she said it. Closest we came to philosophy in our home. See, God isn't like man. Man likes to pull the power thing. Honestly, I got to tell you, when I was a baby policeman, I loved being authority. And I didn't mind you driving on my street, but you better drive right. My streets, my badge, my bad. I was a baby cop. It takes you a little while to realize actually it's their street. Oh yeah. Their town. You kidding me? Did you ever roll through a stop sign? I never did with a policeman there. How's that for confession? Sounded like a good guy, didn't it? Never did with a policeman there. But you guys, the great thing about God is he showed me something about authority, how we can love authority. There were some really unsavory guys. They lived next to a little old lady. And they bullied her all the time. They would park in her driveway to have parties. And when she'd get up in the morning to go off for church, there'd be no way to get out. And she'd go asking some staggering person stagger to the door, look at the little old lady and tell her, we're not up yet, and shut the door. So she went home and she thought, they're so mean, I don't like to do this, but maybe I should call the police so I could go to church. So they called the police. And now I'm a seasoned police officer. I'm way more relaxed. I'm into this thing about it's their city, it's their stuff, and and I can deal with this issue. This is not a big thing. Little old lady, right? I get over there and I knock on the door. This guy comes to the door. I said, you see that car right there in that driveway? He said, yes. I said, I'm going to give you exactly 2 minutes to get it moved out of the driveway. Then I'm going to have a tow truck called and you ain't going to move it. It's going to cost you $300 tow. And it's snowy outside. And he ran through the snow barefooted with the keys in his pocket. And he started the car and he backed it out of the driveway. And the little old lady looked out the door. She thought, that's funny. He didn't run through the snow for me barefooted. But see, God, don't do that. God didn't tell the devil, sick you little spot dirt thing. What you doing up here talking like that? Give me an angel. Beat the daylights out of him. That ain't how God does it, does he? He goes, okay, all right, the war's over Job, huh? War's over Job, all right. You can have him. Man, fire comes down ahead and kills his kids. But the Bible said that Job got up every day and he sacrificed for his kids lest they fail God. Because he said, if they died today, if one of them died today, I want them to go straight to heaven. So every day he got up and he made sure that they were under the blood covenant of a God who hadn't even given the blood covenant yet. That's how come when the devil sent the fire out of heaven, Job said, thank God I got up this morning and sacrificed for my boys and girls. What are you going to do to a man that says, thank God I got up this morning and sacrificed so my kids will be all right forever? Forever. They're not to be on the earth with me. They just have to be with God. One day they're going to anyway. The devil's going, okay, wipe out everything he owns. Bam, everything's gone. Wife turns against him. Job said, look, I came naked into the world. She said, don't bring that up. And he said, I'm going out the same way I came in. And this is what I have to say. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now God's up on his feet. And he don't even have feet. He's a spirit. You get that? But he's standing up and he's standing tall. Because his man is fighting it right. Not him. No, sick. Oh, that's no fun to a God that has that kind of power. It is when a mortal exercises that kind of power. That's where God lives. God lives on that plane. Man, everything the devil could do to him. And then one day this man is scraping sores from his body. Wife comes back, he said, listen, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Mortals won. Devil, nothing. The devil, nothing. See, this is the way God works. I don't want to try and best nobody. The beast raises up an image in the lane. Said, everybody in my kingdom is going to bow to my image. If you don't bow, I will burn you in a furnace. God didn't say, the beast? Because that's what he was. The Bible said God gave him a heart of a beast and he lived out in the world and the dew was wet on him and his fingers were like claws and his hair were like feathers. God gave him a heart of the beast, the Bible said. So this is the beast. The image is 66 cubits high. You can't miss the point. God's shown us the beast. You don't need to fear the beast in the last days. This is what God thinks of the beast in the last days. He showed you something about that. And they got down to everybody about except three people. All of them were Jews. See, that's what God wanted. It's like, I love the beast. Look what he's doing. He's made this big image. And you know what he's going to do? An angel will go, no, your majesty, what is he going to do? He said, well, he's going to make everybody bow to it. They said, yeah, but your majesty, he's going to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace. God said, I know that. I know that. But shouldn't we help? He said, no, don't help nothing. Don't help nothing. Well, you should have something. Mm-mm. No. No. But God, they're just mortals. No. No. They're not just mortals. They love me. And they've made up their mind they would not bow their knee to me in the day of their prosperity. They said, I'm going to serve him forever. But your majesty, this isn't the day of prosperity. Oh yeah, it is. Because they're like Moses. They have esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, because they have respect under the recompense of the reward. Now, devil, bring it on. We'll see what happens. Humanity 4. The devil, nothing. Humanity 4. Ordinary people like you, like me, with an extraordinary God that wants you to withstand what the devil wants to boast about. Why is that? Why is that? Because he boasts we're just mortal. But you're not just mortal. You've been born again of the Spirit. Don't worry. When you're born of the Spirit, something will rise up inside of you that has the power of God in it. And when it does, it'll be humanity 1 million, the devil 0, 10 million, 0, 20 million, 0. We're already way into these numbers. There have been a whole lot of people that were told, if you don't bow to this, we're going to fillet you. And you could hear their screams, but they never recanted. Why? Why? Because they were part spirit. They weren't just flesh. What God wants is for me and you to fall into that love relationship with Him that creates in you that sense of walking through the valley. The church is so busy complaining about little tiny things. Little tiny things. Well, somebody at church didn't say anything to me. I'm not going back. Well, that would be humanity one, humanity one. No win, no loss. You got to get somebody to do it right. God's calling me and you to do these things the way the Spirit of God is calling us. He has a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify Him. You see, when you do these things, God's glorified. Who was glorified in that whole thing with Job was not Job. Job was not glorified. But God was glorified. And you and I have been called by God to walk this walk. Because the world needs to see that God is worthy to be glorified. And we're petty. We're parochial. We fight over stuff, you guys, that should have long since been laid under the blood, forgiven, and gotten on. Get down the road. Do the things that God required for us to do. We need to keep a list of what it is God said do and do it. Say, well, you don't want to be legalistic. Oh, yes, I do. The law used lawfully is from God. John the Baptist came and used the law lawfully. Because what the law should do is diagnose your condition. The law should diagnose your condition. Dying. What you have without Christ is terminal. You will die. The wages of sin is still death. The wages of sin is still death. So, what the law was supposed to do is to have you come to the minister and say, how am I doing, doc? And he said, well, what you have is terminal. Then you say, well, is there anything you can do for me? Yes, the blood of Jesus Christ, sure. Wash your sins away. You will never die. Well, who wouldn't want that? So, what God said is the law used lawfully points to the blood. The law used illegally says, if you don't do this, you won't make heaven. The law used illegally says, keep the law and you can go to heaven. You can't go to heaven with any way but the blood. Jesus died for your sins. You say, well, how do I know what to do? It's right. You invite Him inside, He comes inside to talk. He said, my sheep know my voice. Listen, God will lead you what's right. And if you're doing something that's wrong, He will talk loud enough that you will know you're doing wrong. You do not need to doubt me. You do not need to doubt me. God will convict you for the things in your life that aren't right. Then what you need is somebody that can give you the relief that says God will forgive you and wash your sins away. That's what He said in here. You healed me. You didn't send me down to the pit. You didn't let my foes triumph over me. Listen. Lord, by Your favor, You have made my mountain to stand strong. I'm in verse 7. You did hide Your face and I was troubled. I cried to You, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? Isn't it interesting? He's musing over this sense of dying. Punishment. What good would it be if I died? If You killed me, what good would that be? Now, He said this. When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise Thee? Shall it declare Your truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me, Lord. Be Thou my helper. You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You've put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Wow. You put off my mourning. You've done these things. You've turned my mourning into dancing? That's more than just a smile. I've had stuff change for me, and I just smiled really big. I've had some things happen to me, and I danced. There's a difference. It's a happy difference. But I can tell you, there's a difference. He said this. You've turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Because sackcloth was the cloth of mourning. To the end that my glory may sing praise to Thee and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto Thee forever. Wow. Now that was in the King James. And I love the old King James. That was really precious. I'm going to read it again in the Young's Literal Translation. So now we've got to preach a whole different sermon. Wish you had more than donuts now, don't you? So, this is just a more direct translation. Robert Young did a concordance first. He did a tremendous work because he found every word in the Bible. And he put it in alphabetical order so you could just open it up. If you wanted to look up a bunch of verses on love, every verse in the Bible on love was in it in order. That was good. But you can imagine how long it would take to labor through the Bible page by page and write down every word. If you can't remember anything but the word than, greater than, all you can remember is than, some verse, you can look up the word than. Oh, it's pages long, but you're thinking, wow, this guy. So then he took the Bible and he translated it in the translation. So I was reading this in his translation. So it says this. Back to Psalms 30, verse 1. A psalm. A song of the dedication of the house of David. I exalt Thee, O Jehovah, for Thou hast drawn me up and hast not let mine enemies rejoice over me. That sounds a lot like the other, didn't it? So the point is just the same. Wow, already it's going fast. Second verse says this, Jehovah my God, I have cried to Thee, and Thou dost heal me. Well, that's exactly what the King James said. Point two, just the same. Three, Jehovah, Thou hast brought up from Sheol my soul. Thou hast kept me alive from going down to the pit. Well, that's what the King James said, didn't you, Sheol? Said the grave, which is actually the best translation of it, but Sheol. So, there, that was done. Wow, you're going to be out of here before you know it. Verse 4 says, sing praise to Jehovah, ye His saints, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Well, that's precious, isn't it? And this is what 5 says. for a moment is in His anger. Life is His goodwill. Well, that's different. So what God is actually saying more correctly, and these guys that labored, I love what King James advocated. I went in the room and stood for a long time where he was born at Edinburgh Castle. Still there. They'll tell you, this room where King James was birthed to a mother who was Catholic, waging a war against the Protestant movement. God knows how to bring up the glory of God. Because when you look at all the other kings that have notable lives, King James has no big memorials. Even where he was buried, there's no great name marker for his birth. Just King James. And everybody on earth that has ever touched a King James Bible thanks God for that man bringing this consistency to the Word of God. So I'm not picking on it. I'm just telling you that if you went back to the more difficult way to understand it, these guys made it way more poetic. But here's what it says in the raw form. For a moment is in His anger. Sometimes we make God angry. How long? Just for a moment. But His goodwill is how much? Yeah, for your life. For your whole life. And you guys, we forget that. Because we don't want to make God angry at us. Nobody likes to have God angry at you. But I can tell you that what He wants is to bring us to a place that we capitulate. We surrender on some issues. There's some things in your life and mine that He's going to have us surrender on. But what happens is we can get disheartened because He corrects us. And what the church has learned to do is pretend it didn't happen. If you didn't see me do it, then I'm good as gold. If nobody can tell on me, I'm good as gold. If I can pretend I don't have it and you can't detect it, I'm good as gold. That's what religion does. The real indwelling God doesn't do that. The real indwelling God puts His finger on your issue and He pushes it till it hurts. Because He doesn't want you to get by with living that kind of, if I can hide it, I can do it. It isn't that. You guys, there's things in my life that I want the Spirit of God to turn His light on that I don't even know yet. But He will turn the light on it. He brought the children of Israel into the promised land, and it was a country that had seven nations in it. And He showed us something very important about our lives. When you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're that piece of ground. You're that promised land. God promises to bring you to victory. He's going to fight your battles and win them. He did it at Calvary, yes? But you're still going to have to come in and stand your ground in you. But then there were seven nations there that they had to fight. So you're going to fight some of the nations and you're going to think, oops, the whole land is mine. That's how I felt when Jesus washed me in His blood and forgave me. Man, I just thought, this is so great. I told God, I kept praying, God, I want to be perfect by the time I'm 15. I was 13. Well, I gave Him 2 years. And anyway, I was a pretty good kid and He saved me at 12. I'm on my way. By the time I was 15, I had a girlfriend. No. Evidently, she knows the story. Or she knows people. I don't know. But the thing was, I had a girlfriend. And this issue of struggling with me being a Christian and having a girlfriend. And Rachel didn't know I had any girlfriends. This is brand new news. And the problem was that our church only had 2 boys and 2 girls in it. Right away, you see the math is a problem because this girl's sister was nearly my brother's age. They were about a year apart. And boy, they hit it off wonderful because one boy, one girl. You get how that works. The other girl was 20. I was 13. Did I tell you I was 13? Getting to 15 perfect with a 20-year-old girlfriend isn't as easy as it looks, even if she's a Christian. And I was well on my way. In the day of prosperity, I said, this is easy. And love will make you understand poverty. Because love makes you just empty unless you have this person. So, that's how we worked. We rented tandem bicycles. I told you about this girlfriend. We rented tandem. She said, we need to rent tandem bicycles, and your brother and my sister and you and me, we'll go bicycling up through Golden, Colorado, go up to Morrison. If you've ever been from Golden to Morrison, it's all uphill. I don't mind riding downhill, but a tandem bicycle, it's ought to be easy. I did all the pedaling. And I didn't know when I was doing all the pedaling, except I was doing all the pedaling, and then I stopped, and we stopped. I said, do you want to sit in the front? I'm not a genius, but I know you can't see what's going on behind you. But God still had a plan for my life. And he brought me to a point that I had to decide. And he just spoke to me. He said, in a very clear moment, he said, you decide. Me or you. One of us is going to be king. One of us is going to be king. And I said, you're the king. You're the king. And our friendship just went kaboing. I made God my choice. He still wasn't perfect, but I made God my choice. So I went to church. I said, man, I got to have help for this. And I said to the brother that was the teacher there, an elderly man, loved God. I said, brother, I need you to pray for me. I set a goal for my life. I didn't tell him it was to be perfect. And I did say for my life. And he prayed for me, and the Spirit of the Lord fell in that place. And you know what he told me? Consider it done. So I thought I was going to be 15, perfect by 15, but you know what? It was done at Calvary. Do you know that? Your victory was done at Calvary. God's ability to change you, he did it at the cross of Calvary. And you let him inside, and he will mold you and make you. He knows how to get you to the finish line. I thought I was going to be perfect by the time I was 15. By the time I was 15, I was on my face repenting all the time. I'd found a new me. I'd found a high school that was just filled with all kinds of stuff. And I just kept making choices about God, choices about God, choices about God. And I thought, how come I have to make all these choices? And that's because God was saying, oh, I could beat the devil back, but what I like is for you to do it right. I want you to make the right choice. I want you to win this thing. You stay in this thing. You do it right. You do it right. Because the devil's working against you. He's betting against you just like he did Job. And God knows that you have an ability in you to do these things absolutely godly. And that's what you want. You just want to fulfill his every wish and dream. Do you know that? Because the Bible said we will come to that place that we understand that Christ in you, Christ where? In you is the hope of glory. You think, I'm just McKenna. Or you might not think that, but some people think that. I'm just McKenna. How can I possibly, how can Christ possibly be in me the hope of glory? What if I don't do something right? God has a plan A. He never has a plan B. That's why I said he just has plan A. When his plan is to bring you on, he's going to bring you on. You know, because what he does is he courts your heart. His secret weapon is love. And then you just wake up one morning and you're thinking, I love him so much. And you're thinking, I wish I could make him waffles. That's how people do their offerings. Do you understand what I'm saying? In Africa, they do that. They honestly will give something. If they think it's God, they'll fix it something. They'll pour out drink offerings to it. They'll throw it a chicken. Well, what God wants from you, he doesn't want waffles from you. He'd like to hear a grateful heart. A grateful heart. That's an awful little thing, isn't it? I'm grateful for you. God, I am grateful for you. I can say that 10,000 times a day. Literally. God, I am grateful for you. You guys, this God who's ignored, who is only talked about as storms blow through and it's an act of God. thing is, a grateful heart is a precious thing. Every one of you know what it felt like to have somebody grateful that you were there. Grateful that you showed up. Grateful that you did something. Sometimes it's not a very big thing. It's just a little thing. There was a woman stuck on the highway coming around to the K-10 bypass. And the car was off to the right-hand side. She had a flat tire. No spare. Rachel and I pulled up behind her, and she looked like Connie. She looked like Rachel's mom. And I won't go there. The thing is, Rachel's afraid I was going to tell the... But she looked just like Connie. And so we get out, and I jack her car up, and there's no tire, no spare tire. So I said, okay, I'll tell you what let's do. I said, we'll call to have a truck come, and we'll put your little... she didn't have a little dinky spare. No, she didn't have anything. So I said, okay, what I'm going to do is take your wheel, and I'll take it to Walmart, and we'll get a wheel put on it. So she said, oh, I said, well, actually, I looked all around. There's nothing around. I said, well, actually, probably I'm the best deal to get this thing done. But you guys, she was so grateful that we did that. I didn't think I'd ever see her again. She works at the school up at Oskaloosa. So she tells Ben, she says, is your dad Ron Reisley? It's like, how would you remember all that time? Somebody that stops to change your tire. But you guys, the thing is, gratefulness is something that happens inside of us. And that's what the church is. You want to touch people's lives in a way that they're grateful that you came by. That you were there. And that's the opportunity that you and I have to give back to God. It's like, you know, God, you give to me all the time. So I want to give you something back. And what I start with is a grateful heart. I want to give you that. So anger, it's just a moment. Wow, that's a relief. Is that a relief to you? Anger? Got angry at you? Just a moment. And his anger is gone quickly. All gone. Boom. Wow. I've lived on that. I've counted on that. I bank on that. I don't mess with him. For a moment is his anger. Life is in his goodwill. Wow. Your life is in his goodwill. At even remaineth weeping, and at morning singing. That's a blessing. At evening, weeping. No big deal. That doesn't stop me from serving him. I go through dark times? Yeah. But in the morning, they're singing. And you guys, that's a great thing because he understands that he's telling you this runs in cycles. It's going to follow day and night. It's going to follow day and night. So, right now, you're going through what? Maybe you're going through daylight. Maybe you're just walking on the clouds and you got a bluebird on your shoulder and everything is great. I don't care if it's 9 o'clock. It's morning somewhere. And if it's morning in your heart, you get what I'm saying. But then nighttime comes, but there will be a cycle. That's the great thing about night, isn't it? Is that it's night now, but what's going to happen in the morning? Because the earth is turning at 1,000 miles an hour, the sun's going to come up. And you know what? It's going to come up the time it should. So he said this. In the morning singing. Did I put singing on there? Yes. Verse 6 says, and I have said in mine ease, I am not moved to the age. In other words, the end of all time. I'm not going to be moved in my ease. You like the way that says that? Well, this is prosperity. This is ease, easy things. My life's going easy. Everybody loves an easy time. Verse 7 says, O Jehovah, in thy good pleasure, thou hast caused strength to remain for my mountain. Isn't that better? I mean, it says the same thing, but isn't that better? You have caused my strength to be retained for my mountain. However much it takes to get to the top, you gave me. However much it takes for me to get to the top, you gave me. You retained that strength in me. Wow, you guys. I've been a lot of times, I was glad that he did retain for me the strength to get to the top of the mountain. You'd think, well, he would surely remove the mountain. And I love that song that Rachel sings. A mountain's just a hill from heaven's point of view. I like that. You want to shrink a mountain, fly above it. Climbing it, on the other hand, is not as easy. So what you and I want is to have the Spirit of God tell us this. I will give you strength. He's praising because you gave me strength that retained. It stayed with me till I got to the top. Devil tells you, and the devil will tell you, you ain't going to make it to the top. You are too exhausted. You're going to sit right down here and give up. That's why I like that song that Rachel sings. Satan came to me this morning without even warning, said, why don't you just quit or compromise? Not just quit. If quitting would be too big of a deal for you to do because you're a Christian, you love the Lord, then he said, well, compromise ain't so bad. A little give. Don't be so adamant. I said, listen here, you old devil. With you, I'm going to level. And that's only because it had to rhyme. Get it? Because there's other things you would say there, but with you, I'm going to level. I can't quit. My eyes are on the prize. The prize. The prize. If you believe you're going to win the prize, there's no quitting. If it's just drudgery at the end of your road, if your Christianity is just one series of mountains after another, you don't get what God does. I'm just telling you. What you want is to have God bring to you the understanding of the prize. The prize. You never heard a commercial for the lottery. No, what is it when you buy a ticket? Is that a lottery? You tip your head like you never buy them. So she doesn't. But you never hear an advertisement that says, they never show you 1.5 million people standing with their pockets pulled out empty because they got nothing. They don't do that. They always show you somebody getting, ding, the big money. If they sell a ticket for $1 and somebody wins a $5 ticket, 5 other people paid for it. If they win a $20 ticket, 20 people paid for it. If they win $1 million, about 2.5 million people had to pay for it because there's money that goes to all the other stuff, yeah? But they don't show you that. What God tells you is, look, I'm going to get you through this thing. Night's going to be here. Yeah, it'll happen. But today's going to be morning. I'm not going to be moved. I have strength to climb the mountain. I have a way to get to the top. Easy stuff? Yeah, there's a prize. And you just have to decide, here's the thing. I'm not going to get it from the lottery. I'm going to get it from God. Because I'd much rather have the prize be what He has for my life. In the first place, if all I ever got was the first thing He gave me for a prize was everlasting life, I am a winner. I cannot lose. So this verse says, go on. It's after 9. Verse 7, I'm going to start again. O Jehovah, in thy good pleasure, thou hast caused strength to remain for my mountain. Thou hast hidden thy face. I have been troubled. Well, wait a minute. You gave me strength to climb the mountain, but you disappeared. I guess we've all been there. Look how he's explaining how walking with him is different than what the world says. In the world, you want to make me happy, make everything easy for me. Not his world. Because he wants you to be a soldier. He loves you tough. Does he love you tough, Hannah? Yes! He's making her tough. She was a cream puff when she came here. I alone am making her tougher. I was a cream puff when I came here. God has toughened me up. He knows how to change us. That's the great thing about God. Because He knows that we understand. Go to the top of the mountain. Why? Why? That always buys you time. Not that he explains to you, it just goes silent. And if you're gutsy enough to wait out the silence, hey, I've never waited all the way to the end, but he said something more. But the thing is, you realize that the flesh wants to know what it's all about. And the truth is, when you get to the top of the mountain, you're going to be way stronger. There was a movie a long, long time ago, and this little skinny kid was being picked on by big people, and he met an old man that knew karate. And he made him clean his car, and he did the wax on and the wax off. I hate to interject this into a sermon, but there will be some times that God will have you out there waxing on and waxing off. And you will tell yourself, this is stupid. But then one day you'll be looking in the mirror and there will be your shoulders. Yeah. And then you'll be doing the gun show to yourself. It always starts to yourself. You pop and they don't pop, you keep your guns just in the holster. So God knows what He's doing. He knows what He's doing. Because He's leading you and me into something that seems stupid, but it's not stupid. Because He knows you need the tenacity, you need the strength, you need the wherewithal that says, mountains are my forte. It's what I do best. And the valleys, they may be filled with trials, but they're not impossible. Yeah? I got a God who knows how to give me the ability to get to the top. Christianity isn't about dreaming for an easy trip. Christianity is about going up to get strength, walking on with God. And the reason is because the world's going to put opposition against you. It is going to push against you. It's going to try everything it can to get you to go the wrong direction. God wants you strong enough to keep making the right decisions. And it comes out of the Word of God. And it comes going through these things that try you so that you make right choices when it doesn't feel like you should be making choices like that at all. You make the right choice. You live a holy life. Make up your mind. Tonight, you're going to let God be everything you need Him to be. Don't leave here without that decision. Make yourself a mountain climber. Say, God, listen, I want to be at the top of the mountain. Because what I want to do is get up there and find out that you're not any closer up there than you are in the valley. Because I was sure when I got at the top of that mountain, you would be closer to me than you were in the valley, and you've always been as close to me in the valley as you were on the top of the mountain. It isn't about climbing high to get close to you, because the closest you get to God is on your knees. You want to get close to God, get a closet somewhere in your house and bow your knees to Him, and you will draw close to God, and you'll get strength for the journey, and you'll have power to climb the mountains. So He said this. Verse 8 says, unto thee, O Jehovah, I call, and unto Jehovah I make supplication. Supplication. I'm talking about these issues between you and me, Lord. I'm asking you, help me. I'm asking you for deliverance. I'm asking you for guidance. I'm asking you for your perseverance to become a part of my perseverance. I want this same mind in me that was in you that took you to the cross. I want the same mind in me that humbled you. See, perfection isn't getting better. It's becoming more obedient. You don't get a halo when you get perfected. You're not going to get a halo. You're going to just look like ordinary you. But your heart will be upright before God. And you will draw closer to Him. And you will bow in surrender to every issue. You'll just genuflex. Boom. You just bow. You look like 100 Catholics in the front row. You're just going to bow. Every time God wants you to do something, you're going to bow. It's what God does. He wants you to bow because He's God. And there's nothing wrong with humbling yourself before God. It's the best thing you can do. Humble yourself. So He said this. I know. Verse 9 says, what gain is in my blood? And you guys, listen, that's a perfect put question, because what price could I pay? Even if I died, I couldn't pay for my own salvation. How high could I raise the standard of what I expect of me? My blood will never get what the cross gave me. What gain is in my blood, in my going down to corruption, going down into the grave? What is that about? You guys, the Spirit and presence of God brings us into a place that says, I want you to take me for my truth. Jesus told Mary and Martha, said, your brother's going to rise again. They said, yeah, we know in the resurrection. He said, well, I am the resurrection. They said, well, yes, we know in that last day. He said, he that believeth in me shall never die. He that believeth in me shall never die. Now, he raised Lazarus from the dead. But I got to tell you something. That life that he was talking about is that sense of cognitive. Your soul that you're looking through your eyes right now, that thought process that's in your mind right now, it never ceases. You step from this realm, and I assume you think you're seeing a vision. I don't know, when you see the Lord, when you see Him opening up heaven for you, but this I know, you don't go into a place called death. He told us that in Lazarus and the rich man, yes? They were talking. And the rich man knew exactly who he was, and he knew who his brothers were. And he knew they weren't serving God. He knew they were living just like he was living. He wanted Lazarus to go back and tell them about God. That's knowing what's going on. Listen. In my going down, what good is my going down into corruption? Does dust thank thee? Does it declare you truth? No. Why should I give over to my flesh and die? Wages of sin, still death. Why would I choose death over life? Listen, verse 10. Hear, O Jehovah, and favor me. O Jehovah, be a helper to me. Boy, you guys, these are smart things to pray. Verse 11 says, you have turned my mourning to dancing for me. You took the thing that was making me weep and you turned it into dancing. You didn't take a nice day and a clear sky and a 5-instrument ensemble. You just turned my mourning into dancing. You've turned my mourning into dancing for me. You've loosed my sackcloth and girded me with joy. Wow. I like the way this says this. I like the way it talks about these things. You girded me with joy so that honor doth praise thee. Honor doth praise thee. My life is a glory to God. Your life is an honor to God. You live to honor Him. Yes? He said, honor your mother and your father all the days of your life. Goes for the spirit realm as well. Honor your father. How do you honor Him? Your life honors your father or disgraces him. What you do with your life, it isn't whether you talk nice to your mom and dad. You need to talk nice to your mom and dad. You like your teeth? Keep them. But honoring them has to do with what the community talks about you. Because a good kid will bring honor to his parents. A good name brings honor to his parents. So, the Bible said a child left to himself will bring his mother shame. Bring his mother shame. So what you and I want is to do that job that God's asked us to do. Bring that discipline. Bring that correction. But we want to receive it. As adults, we want to know God as our Father and honor Him so that when He corrects us, we don't try to wiggle around it. We don't try to deny it. We don't try to bluff our way out of what went on. We take it because we honor His corrections. Like, Lord, You are merciful to me. God, You are right. I was wrong. I thank You for Your mercy. I thank You for Your correction. Correct me. Finish in me what You started. I appreciate what You do to me. Say, well, yeah, I don't want anybody else to see it. You guys, we're not afraid of other people seeing the things that God corrects us for and leads us on and brings us through. That's a deceptive thing. When you start protecting yourself from other Christians seeing what's going on in you, you miss what the Bible said. He said, confess your faults one to another. Why is that? Because he's building a loving environment. If you are not trusted with someone else's faults, you don't want to tell them yours. Ow, ow, ow. I know it's 10, 9, 20, but I just want to say that one more time because I'm enjoying this moment. If you feel like you have to hide your faults, you're missing the point because that's telling you something's wrong with the clock. Right. What God wants you to understand is confess your faults one to another. Because if you tell people your faults, the devil can't blackmail you. The devil will tell you, I'm going to tell on you. It's like, tell. I tell everybody. I'll be there first. Hey, everybody, I want to say something. Here comes the devil. I did this. Then he's all dejected and sorry because I was going to make it sound way worse than that. Confess your faults one to another. Because here's the thing, honestly, if you can't confess your faults, it's because you aren't trustworthy enough to have someone confess their faults to you. You talk about it. You run it down. You use it as fodder in your cannon against the success of their life. And when you do that, you can't tell other people your faults. Because you're sure they'll do that to you. And you guys, the truth is, you should be able to tell your faults to somebody and have them wrap their arms around you and just bear hug you. It's like, hey, hey. That's just today. God obviously corrected you. God obviously brought conviction on you. You're convicted. I love that conviction. Do something righteous with it. You did it when you confessed your faults. Now, let's take what the Word of God says and let's get out of this place because no reason to linger in the pit. You and I have a place to go in Christ Jesus. You guys, when people treat you like that, it's like, wow, that is a blessed thing. That's what we want. So, you and I have a precious promise from God to give us strength to get to the top of the mountain. Retain you to get to the top of the mountain. He knows what it is you and I need. And I want the musicians, come up here and sing one more time. I love the way you guys sing these songs. What song do I want? I was talking about a song. What was it? I Go to the Rock, is that what you said? All right. I love Going to the Rock. I love these guys. Listen, I know God has blessed us. He's blessed us with all of you. I think of how much God's Spirit and presence has blessed us. I thank God for these people who put out music. They make it look effortless. Ernie plays the guitar. Ben plays a bunch of stuff. Lynn plays a bunch of stuff. Almost everybody in here plays something. That's a precious thing. Have God. Yeah, my daughters play the piano, the ukulele, the drums, a little bit on the guitar. It's like, wow. Ben does. Ethan plays the piano. I went in one day and I heard somebody playing a beautiful song on the piano. I'm thinking, who's doing that? I thought someone would come in the house. I go in there and it's him. And he's telling me, Dad, can I quit playing the piano? I said, anytime you want. He said, you may not have to take lessons anymore. And I said, of course you have to take lessons. Listen now you're playing, but I mean you can quit if you want right now. Katie plays. It's precious the way the girls play these instruments. But you guys, your kids are blessed, and some of these are your kids. Listen, tonight you need to, I believe that God's talking to us about making up our mind that tough isn't our problem. God is our strength. Not afraid of the mountains. If you're afraid of the mountains, we're gonna pray together tonight. If the valleys seem too much, we're gonna pray. Because we're coming into some very special times in this country. And what I want is to have you be able, this whole revival has been about and having done all the stand. So if God's telling us that He is lifting off of this country His blessings, and He is, if He's bringing judgment on this country, you're going to live like Elijah did by the brook. Meaning that instead of feeling the great presence of God, you're just going to stay by the brook till it dries up. But you better stay by the brook till it dries up. Not afraid. Because then when the brook starts drying up, you're going to think, wow, the ravens didn't show up, the brook's drying up, I'm in trouble. I've called for the famine. Maybe I ought to call for rain. Or not. Because God hadn't said, call for rain, yeah? So then God speaks to him real quiet and said, I want you to go to Sidon, to Zarephath. That's where this whole problem came from, that place. That's where this false religion came that Jezebel brought into the land, that brought the corruption, that brought the famine. Surely God, you're not going to send me there to a widow woman? And he said, she will feed you there. And he didn't go down there expecting to see her backyard filled with cattle. Big sign on the door, kosher beef, kosher vegetables, kosher dishwashing. He didn't find any of that stuff. In fact, he didn't find any food. He's looking at this pathetic supply, but he knows God. Yes? So what I want you to do is don't look at the pathetic supply. I want you to look at God. God has this answer. And so what I want you and me to do is just pray together. I want you to take a hand of somebody next to you. In fact, both sides of you. And pray for that person. Pray that God will do something in that person's life about climbing the mountain. If you feel like you can hardly get to the top of your mountains sometimes, then you're in the right place tonight because God said pray. These things in this psalm was a prayer. He just kept talking, oh Jehovah, oh Jehovah. And that's what you and I are doing tonight. I want you to cry out to God. I want you to touch His throne. He loves you. He brought you here. This night is important for you. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how tough you are. I don't care how old you are. You're in a good place because God is wanting you and me to know there is strength for the journey. And if you get discouraged because it's night, don't be. Morning will come.
That's right.
Morning will come. What you want is to have the mind of God to get you to that place. Okay. So, and we're seeing, what was it we were doing?
Though the mountain.
Oh, yeah, though the mountain, yes, or I go to the rock.
Okay.
Do that. So, I go to the rock. When I need a friend, where do I go? When I need somebody that can help me, when I need a strength that will hold me from slipping and sliding, where do I go? I go to the rock. So that's what you're going to do right now. In the name of Jesus. God, right now. God, let your spirit, glorify you, magnify you. God, let 2017 be the third day. Lord, where your spirit brings us through these things, where we make up our minds that it is going to be you and us. One for humanity, zero for the devil. But your spirit, your presence, bringing your victory to our lives. God, we pray it in your name, Jesus. God, you're the great I am. God, we have this recourse to come to this strength. God, our mountain is a place of strength. God, it was where you built Zion on the top of the mountain. For you brought a sacrifice for the man who had his only son to lay it at your throne. God, we want our hearts to be that ready to serve you, to glorify you, to honor you. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus, God, we pray. God, that you would touch these guys. Lord, as only your spirit touches. God, you're the great I am. In the name of Jesus. God, I worship you. God, I adore you. God, you are that mountain that stands by us. God, in the name of Jesus, nothing. God can turn us around. Nothing can slow us down. God, you've made a provision for us. God, you are doing these things. God, I lay claim to your spirit and presence. God, you have this answer. I want that answer in me. God, I'm not wanting less. God, I'm not wanting less. God, I lay claim to the souls of these people you brought them at Calvary. God, you made the difference. God, you're the distance. And God, we're praying right now in the name of Jesus, by the Spirit of God. Lord, let your presence do what only you can do. God, you're the God who holds us through these things. In the name of Jesus. God, because you're the great I am. God, because you're the great I am. God, touch this baby. God, touch this man. God, touch this man, this woman, this baby. God, this baby. In the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Lamb.
of God. God, touch her. God, touch him. God, you're the great I am. God, you're the great I am. One more thing. God, from last night to the glory, you're still God. God, in your name, you're still working these things in David. God, in Tammy. God, in the name of Jesus and Scott. Lord, in your name. God, in the name of Jesus. God, the great I am. God, we praise your great name. God, Jesus, in the name of Jesus, God, because you have the answer, God, the strength to get not just to the top of the mountain, but to the finish of the race, God, in your name we pray, God, because you've done these things for us, God, we have confidence, God, because you've done these things, God, touch these babies, God, touch these babies, God, in your name, God, I thank Jesus, God, touch this man, God, touch this.
I'll go to the rock.
I'm a baby. God, in the name of Jesus, God, you are the great man. God, in every battle with a
woman.
God, because you are the victory. God, we have this gift in us because you have come to dwell in us. God, send your home a different man. In the name of Jesus, God, that old God, God, that old turn around. God, in the name of Jesus, God, I lay claim to the victory. God, I claim your presence, your victory. God, set him on fire. God, set him on fire. Set him on fire. God, in the name of Jesus, God, touch him. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray to your name. And because you are that great of him, God, touch his face. Lord, you are that victory. God, you are that victory. God, we praise you for all that you're doing. Because you did it, Jesus, at Calvary. And we're the recipients of that. God, because only you can do these things. God, you brought us into this place. And through that victory, God, we have victory. God, in the name of Jesus. God, seal her mind on the top of the mountain. God, bringing forth your thunder of the Lord, thunder of the sun. God, in the name of Jesus. But now, God, now, thunder of the Lord, thunder. Run the clock forward. Run it. Take a year. Take a year. Take a year. Run the clock. I watch over you. For as long as you need me, for as long as you need it, I am your shield. I am God, and I am everything in you. Rest, trust me, take a year. God, in the name of Jesus, God, in the name of Jesus, God, we praise your great name. God, touch him. Lord, it's only your spirit can touch him. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. God, touch him. Lord, your spirit and presence is doing something in his body. God, in the name of Jesus. God, Mike isn't standing there, but God, touch him. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you're the great I am. Lord, in the midst of your presence. God, you're the doer of all these things. God, we praise your great name. God, you're the victory. You're the mercy. God, we praise you. God, because you are. God, we have this very day. And God, your word has come alive in us. And God, we want to be trusted, just like you. God, we want to be that person who stands, that you can drop them out. Not because we're something, but because you're something. God, we pray it in your name, Jesus. God, we pray it in your name, Jesus. Holy Lamb of God. God, we praise your name. God, we praise your great name, Holy Lamb of God. God, we pray it in your name, Jesus. God, because you're the answer. Lord, we don't need anything stronger than your power. God, we don't need anything less than your victory. God, in the name of Jesus. God, touch these women. God, touch them, Lord, with your protection and direction. God, fill them up. God, fill them up. God, you send them here for a reason tonight. God, let that reason shine forth. God, in the name of Jesus. God, in the name of Jesus. God, standing on this rock. God, we're standing on the rock. Holy Lamb of God. Holy Righteous God. Lord, without you, We're nothing.
I go to the rock of my
without you, we're nothing. But with you, God, there's victory. God, in the name of Jesus. Holy Lamb of God. Holy Lamb of God. God, it's what you do, Jesus. Christ, on Christ, I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to that rock. I go to the rock. Thank you, Jesus. I go to that rock. For the presence of God. For the victory for us. Lord, I praise you, Jesus. God, touch every one of these musicians. Anoint them with that oil of your presence. God, keep them in every circumstance. Guide them through every place. God, make the narrow places wide in your name, we pray. God, I pray, Jesus, the hard places. God, bring them that sense of absolute commitment to you. The honoring of you. Not because things are easy, but because you're great. Because you're worthy to be praised. God, because we owe your life. And God, we pray that your glory would be seen in us. Move through us, God. In your name we pray. In your name we pray.
Amen.
In your name we pray. Hallelujah. God, we pray it in your name, Jesus. God, we pray it in your name. Holy Lamb of God. God, we praise your name, Jesus. I feel the presence of God in this place.
I
can feel his anointing in this place. I know that he's touched us. You and I can receive these things because he loves us. Because he intends to bring us through to victory. That's his intention. And we worry about so many things we need not worry about because he's that kind of God. He watches over us for victory. He's promised us that victory. So he knows how to do that. As only he can do it. To accomplish those things in us. Thank you, Jesus. All right. So you're welcome to stay and pray. I mean, is this New Year's Eve?
Yeah.
My, how that snuck up on me. So I should have preached another hour. What was I thinking?
Thank you, Jesus.
So if you want to stick around, I think you ought to just stick around. Fellowship with one another. So he's watched over us, kept us, sustained us. And it's been a precious thing to spend these days together and to have God remind us. If you don't feel me, I'm still there. Lean on this fact that I know where you're at. And I will not only see you through, but I will prosper your journey. That's the great thing about what God does in our lives. Watches over us for that purpose. So, Lord willing, in the morning we're going to do church at 8:30 instead of 9:30. That's not true. So, but in the morning, we'll go ahead and have church. Yeah. And we can start church at 10 o'clock instead of 9:30. That would, or 10:30. We'll start at 10:30 instead of 9:30, which gives Greg an extra moment of rest. Where is Greg? There. All right. So we appreciate what God's doing in all of our lives. So shake somebody's hand. Give them a great big hug. And if you didn't get a donut and there's one left, you can help yourself with a donut.